This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's your sense of your week one performance and result, Kirk?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Throws intercepted. It's Dante Jackson.
Disappointing. It just wasn't clean enough, wasn't crisp enough, and we paid for it.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware. Coming up, ESPN radio host Chris Canty. Actor Keegan-Michael Key. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Nice chat with DeMarcus Ware, the hilarious, and talented, and fun dynamite. Keegan-Michael Key is on his way to our studio. And man, our face hurts every single time he's here.
Absolutely.
And he's here in support of Transformers 1, which is the origin story of Transformers. You know, there's more to the meets the eye when it comes to the Transformers.
Robots in disguise.
Indeed. Yeah. That's coming up later on in hour number three of this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, as I said. Soon to come, my top five list of the 1-0 teams that most need to win. I would think all 16 teams are raising their hands right now and saying, we need it. But I'm going to narrow it down to five because, you know, it's the tough job. I take on the tough jobs. Around here.
You're a true hero.
Oh, it's more than meets the eye here as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not just this hairless pretty face. Whatever. All right. Hour number two of the show is on the air is basically what I'm saying. And joining us here is an 11-year veteran of the National Football League and a Super Bowl champion of his time with the New York Giants. Now making a very nice name for himself at ESPN, Chris Canty here on the program. Good to see you, Chris.
Hey, Rich, thanks for having me on. I tell you, you put me in a tough spot. I'm following up my former teammate that's a Hall of Famer. And then after me, you got one of the most famous comedians in the game right now. It's a tough spot you got me in today.
Listen, I know, I'm a Staten Islander, and the boogie down Bronx is in the house, if I'm not mistaken, right now. So,
oh, you already know.
You got thick skin. you have thick skin. Did you root for the Giants as a kid, Chris?
No, I didn't root for the Giants. That was my dad's team. I really wasn't a big football fan, if I'm being honest. I was all about those hoop dreams, being a tall kid from the Bronx. The Los Angeles Lakers were my squad. Don't ask me how that happened. But it wasn't until later on in high school where I came to love football, and turned out to be a pretty good decision for me.
Well, I mean, that was North Carolina, right? You moved to North Carolina in high school, and that's when you started really ascending into the Chris Canty we see here today, correct?
That's correct. The same high school that Daniel Jones went to. So
okay. For the radio audience, did you inhale and then kind of
there was a slight pause.
There's a slight pause and a sigh. Yeah. Do we see the sigh right there?
Little pregnant pause. Things didn't get off to the start that we hoped for DJ. As a former Giant and a fellow Charlotte Latin alum, I'm rooting for the guy, but I can tell you it's an uphill climb for that guy right now.
What is going on? What do you think? What is going on with him and the G-men, Chris? What do you think?
It's hard to explain, Rich. All I can say is the turnover that he threw, the pick six in the third quarter, the interception in the fourth quarter are just mistakes that a quarterback in his sixth season can't make. And at some point, DJ is going to have to live up to the contract the Giants gave him a couple of years ago. And you got to understand that this place really, really doesn't give you a lot of runway when you don't give them a lot to hold on to in the way of tangible results. So I think that's the problem that Daniel Jones is now facing. And there's a lot of show and prove. And on top of that, you know, you've got that contract that's out there. And the New York Giants are going to be in the unenviable position because of the injury history with Daniel Jones. If things continue to trend the way that they're trending, where they're going to have to make a difficult decision.
Well, both – I don't know how difficult it is, right? I mean, because the contract is something that has caused them to start him this year, right? And the fact that they didn't get a quarterback in the draft, that they sat there at sixth and I guess did their evaluation of J.J. McCarthy, Penix, and Neighbors and said, let's go with the receiver. And do our best to win with Daniel Jones this year, and maybe things can get, you know, boosted. Certainly with Saquon being allowed to walk down the turnpike, right? I mean, but if it doesn't work out this year, the question is how many changes would this team make? Quite frankly.
Well, Well, Rich, I think you're as loyal as your options. And the Giants didn't draft the quarterback, but it wasn't for a lack of trying. And we saw that all play out on Hard Knocks. That couldn't have felt good if you were Daniel Jones. But he's got an opportunity to show and prove. They've invested a lot in the offensive line. They've invested heavily on the defensive side of the ball, especially in their front seven. You're looking at it now and you're saying, yeah, you don't have Saquon Barkley, but we did draft a receiver in the top 10. At some point, you're going to have to be a force multiplier. You're going to have to elevate the play of those around him. And it just hasn't happened for DJ. The best season that this guy has on his resume, you're talking about 15 touchdown passes and him playing in all the regular season games. At some point, there's got to be something else at the top of the resume in order to convince Giants fans and convince the front office that he's the guy for them moving forward.
So I'm going to ask you, Chris Canty, here on the Rich Eisen Show, the same question I asked DeMarcus, where he had 9 seasons of the 28 in a row that the Cowboys have not made the NFC Championship game. You had half of that before you moved on to the Giants and then eventually the Ravens. Because this is essentially, even with what we saw against Cleveland and how impressive they were, my essential take was great stuff. They deserve the kudos for doing that, but whatever. Like, let's see it when it all comes down to it. When you were a young player there in Dallas, did you know of how long it had been and how each mounting year just adds the pressure? Because it was only about 10 years since the streak had begun when you first arrived. I'm just wondering how much this is in the frontal or back lobes of the current Dallas Cowboys right now, Chris?
Rich, I didn't even think about it when I got to Dallas. I was a fourth round pick. I was just trying to do enough to stay in the league, stay on the team. And Bill Parcells did a really good job of keeping everybody focused on the task at hand and not looking too far down the road. So I don't think a lot of people that were on those teams from 2005 through 2008 paid much attention to it. Now, certainly when we made the playoffs in 2006 and 2007, there was a lot of chatter. And when you have 13 Pro Bowlers on a team, there are going to be expectations. When you're the number one seed in the NFC, there are going to be expectations. Mm. But I will say this. I think when we start talking about the pressure and the expectations in Dallas, we have to look at the owner, Jerry Jones, and what he does in terms of impacting the autonomy of the head coach and empowering him and the leaders within that locker room in order to set the agenda for the team. And the one thing that I will say is that for all of the good things that Jerry Jones does, it feels like in a lot of his negotiations and a lot of the bluster and a lot of him stirring the pot, he undermines the head coach and the leadership structure on his own football team. And that doesn't necessarily lend itself to getting the best out of your team when you need it the most. If you think back to when they lost that playoff game against the Green Bay Packers last year, team leader Tank Lawrence said after the game that they were too burnt out, that they didn't have the energy to be ready for that playoff game, that kind of intensity. Well, the only thing that I can take away from that is that cauldron that Jerry Jones creates with all of the headlines impacts in ways on the team as they go through the regular season. So again, I think a lot of the issues that we're seeing from the Dallas Cowboys, they're not for the lack of having talent. Will McClay, their senior personnel director, does a great job of being able to buy the groceries. It's about the culture that's in the building. And unfortunately, it's not the head coach. It's not the leadership structure within the team. It's Jerry Jones setting the culture. And that's the only common denominator that can explain the 28-year NFC Championship game drought.
Interesting. So let me ask you to put a little bit more meat on that right there, Chris, because I'm sure there are some fans hearing you say what you just said that would push back to say Tank Lawrence is a lead pipe wielding professional player, as are the rest of the Dallas Cowboys, many of whom are very well compensated and playoff rubber meeting the road. How do you not find the energy within you? How do you not overcome whatever cauldron has been cooked up? Like, it's go time. So why would that happen is what I'm saying. Like, how would you say the cauldron being created by Jerry Jones does defray somebody's ability to dig deep?
Rich, I couldn't tell you. I'm not in that locker room. All I can go on is what the players say. And when Tank Lawrence says something, I'm going to pay attention to it, especially when it's a player as veteran as he is saying he was too, quote unquote, burnt out to be ready to go in a playoff game when you're competing for a championship at home versus what was the youngest playoff team in the last half century. So I was surprised to hear that. But when I take those comments and we start looking at some of the shortcomings for the Dallas Cowboys over the last 3 years, where they've had 12 wins in each regular season, where they've lost two of the three playoff L's that they've taken at home on their own field, I have to look at what's going on at the top of the organization. They always say a fish rots from the head down, and that's exactly what it feels like down in Dallas. Now, again, Jerry Jones is a wildly successful businessman. He's taken $140 million invested and turned it into a $10 billion business. So it's hard to sit here and say that Jerry is doing it wrong. But when it comes to creating the kind of culture that will allow your team to contend at a championship level, there is something that is missing within the culture of the Dallas Cowboys. There is that intangible that just isn't there. And I point to the little things within the margins, and those little things happen to be some of the big headlines that Jerry Jones creates around his team.
ESPN and ESPN Radio's Chris Canty, a few minutes left with him here on the Rich Eisen Show. And let's, I guess, just finish up the teams you played for. Your takeaway from the Ravens' season-opening loss and near win in Kansas City is what?
Lamar Jackson is really good. The offensive line needs some work. I think that's the biggest takeaway. They've got to figure out a way to keep Lamar Jackson out of longer downs and distances where he can be hit by the defense by virtue of the pass rush or him just having to take off and create. I think that's got to be the biggest thing. You saw he started out this week a little bit banged up, missed some time on the field. And so that is my biggest concern. When Lamar Jackson is fully healthy, you know the Ravens are going to be in the playoffs. You know they're going to be competing to be in the championship rounds. It's just a matter of making sure that he gets to the finish line healthy. I have no doubt that if he's healthy, he plays in the majority of the games, the rest of it will take care of itself. But the biggest concern, as I see it for John Harbaugh in Baltimore, is making sure that they take care of number eight. He'll take care of them if they do.
Okay. And so what you gave a theory as to why the Cowboys run out of gas when it comes time to win in the playoffs. What's your theory on why we've yet to see Lamar break through into a Super Bowl despite having two MVPs under his belt now, including last year? What do you see maybe as a system function that's going on or malfunction that's happening so far, Chris?
Well, earlier on in his career, I thought they put a lot on Lamar in terms of playmaking. They didn't necessarily give him a lot of weapons that can take some of the heavy lifting off of him. When it comes to what happened in the conference championship game last year, I think the Ravens just went through an identity crisis. Anytime you have, 16 runs and only, 8 or 9 of them coming from guys that weren't the quarterback, that's a problem. And Rich, the Baltimore Ravens, 3 of the last 5 years have led the league in rushing, including last year. So I think the Baltimore Ravens have to lean into their identity when it matters the most. That has to be their bread and butter. That's how they built the team. And quite honestly, when Baltimore has had high-end success, they've been able to run the football. Lamar Jackson being special is great, but that's not a plan. And I think a lot of the times the Ravens, because Lamar is so dynamic with the ball in his hands, they want to trust him in every single situation and give him every opportunity to impact the game. But sometimes when it comes to the best approach, it's about making sure that you can create opportunities for Lamar to have that big play by forcing the defense to defend something else other than number eight. And so I think that's the one thing that the Baltimore Ravens will be best served to remember as they move through this season. It's why I believe they went out and got Derrick Henry. I still don't understand why they got away from Derrick Henry early on in that game in Kansas City last Thursday night. You saw they had success in that first drive using him. I think they have to have the threat of the run. And it's not just about the production. It's sometimes just about the attempts in order to make sure that there are those opportunities for Lamar Jackson to be dynamic in the passing game.
Yeah, 5 carries for Derrick Henry in that first drive in Kansas City that wound up with him in the end zone for a touchdown. And that was one fewer carry by a running back than the Ravens had the entire AFC Championship game lost to the Chiefs. And then he had only 8 carries the rest of the game. I hear you. We'll see what happens against the Raiders later on Sunday for the Ravens home opener. What was your Super Bowl prediction coming into the season?
My Super Bowl prediction was Green Bay against Kansas City. So what was old is new again. I would say the rematch of Super Bowl I. I'm a little shaky on that, seeing what has happened with Jordan Love. We'll see how that thing progresses. But I'm pretty certain about the team I got coming out of the other side of the bracket. They look damn good on opening night.
And so, okay. I guess the Packers, right? I mean, sometimes the football gods find the weakness. We'll see what Malik Willis can do. I don't know, right? Based on what we saw in Tennessee, for the Titans to just, you know, send him packing before the season. I understand they got Mason Rudolph, but I'm concerned. I have concerns there, you know?
Yeah, I've got some concerns too. I will say this, the fact that Matt LaFleur, who had success with Ryan Tannehill down in Tennessee, didn't go out there and try to sign him, leads me to, and the fact that they didn't put Jordan Love on IR leads me to believe that we're going to see him at some point in the next month. Okay. It's just a matter of what happens over the next couple of games, what happens against the Colts, what happens, I believe, against the Titans. I think if the Green Bay Packers can find a way to get a win over the next 2 weeks, and fingers crossed Jordan Love return back for that Minnesota Vikings game, then I do believe there's going to be an opportunity for them to salvage their season. But they got to figure out a way to get a win over these next two games, whether it be against the Indianapolis Colts, which is going to be a tall order, or against the Tennessee Titans.
Chris, pleasure chatting with you here. So you said you didn't really weren't a football guy in your tenure in the Bronx. You are a Yankee fan, at least, right, Chris? Coming from the Bronx.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Let's go. Jazz Chisholm and Aaron Judge and G and all those guys, Juan Soto, let's go.
Did you go to games in the old Yankee Stadium as a kid in the Bronx?
I've gone to games in the old Yankee Stadium. I've gone to games in the new Yankee Stadium. I prefer the old one, but you know, listen, let's hope we get some championship pelts under the new one's belt here soon.
I'm right with you. Chris, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Look for more of my calls. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Rich.
You got it. That's Chris Canty. Check him out on ESPN and ESPN Radio right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, I mean, if you're from the Bronx, you better root for the Yanks. You're not going to sit here. Yeah, by the way, it's your own fair and balanced. If he was from Queens, I would have asked him about the Mets.
Would you have done?
Well, by the way, I would. Let me check on your Metropolitans.
Oh, look, yeah, ask about
what
it.
What is going on
look
about
at
your
us,
Metropolitans?
Baby. I don't know what's going on, Rich. It's freaking
in
me out.
In front of the Atlanta Braves, yes, currently in the final wild card spot in the senior circuit.
I mean,
look at the New York Metropolitans who are left for dead at Memorial Day, sitting here a couple weeks. A week after Labor Day, 14 over, one game in front of the Braves.
Look, I can't explain it, man. It's incredible.
A game and a half behind the Padres, two behind the Cardinals. I mean, the Phillies aren't going to be caught.
You know, I'm just going to place my Francisco Lindor for MVP vote right here, right now.
Let's just, by the way, you gotta talk about him.
I mean, yeah, but they're not going to give it to him, obviously.
Who is the National League MVP?
I mean,
It's Ohtani.
Well,
But, you know, I'll say this. Lindor can win you a game by going 0-4, Rich. He can make
MVP
spectacular.
They're over,
have
right?
Been over for a month.
But what do I mean, listen, some baseball guys will be, it's got to be Profar. You know what I mean? It's got to be someone on the Phillies, right? Pick your favorite Philly, right? But it is Ohtani last night had a home run and a stolen base by the second inning. He's three home runs and two stolen bases shy of 50-50.
Yeah. So Judge is minus 3,000, which means bet.
Yeah, right.
$3,000 to win 100.
Yeah.
Ohtani is minus 700. A little bit closer.
That's what I'm saying.
Lindor's the only one close. He's plus 450.
What are Witt's odds right now?
Witt, you want to sneak one in there? He's 10-1.
Leading the majors in batting right now.
I stand corrected, by the way. The other day I said that Judge has not hit a home run since Puppy Dog Pals. Cooper, my 13-year-old, corrected me. It is, in fact, Paw Patrol. Yeah. He's been on both.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said Paw Patrol.
Apparently, he was in an episode involving Rubble.
Yeah, longest drought of his career.
Barney?
No.
Oh, no. Rubble and Crew.
Rubble and Crew.
Yeah, come on.
And
when I hear Rubble, I think Barney Rubble.
And last night, so I'm at a school event for Coop. He's at home watching the Yankees and the Orioles play a rubber match. Mm-hmm. I'm walking around his school. My phone buzzes, and it's him. And I'm like, what does he want? Put up on the screen. I'm so proud of him.
Explain this. It's
a screen grab of a Tommy Canley pitch right down the middle called a ball. And It's a screen grab of the MLB app game day function, and it's right down the middle, and he just texted me, explain this. So my son's sitting at home watching his Yanks try and come up with the win. It's a tie game, 3-3, eighth inning. Canely's in there, and he throws one right down the middle for a ball. He reaches for his phone, goes to the MLB app, which basically, like the Matrix, I think, is connected to his brain, and he just to confirm that the call was as bad as he thought, he screen grabs the ball down the middle with the green dot indicating ball, and he just texts his father, explain this.
Honestly, the pride you felt.
And I'm at his school where he's thriving academically, mm-hmm. thank goodness, and this made me prouder. And I don't know what that means for me, that he's just sitting there livid with the umpiring, going to the MLB app. He shouldn't be on his phone while he shouldn't be. The two screens are kind of verboten in our house mm-hmm. at once. Like, he shouldn't be doing that. He did it. He screen grabbed it. He texted his father, just explain this. He's upset with the umpiring.
You got to love
it. My response was inexplicable. Yeah. Like, that's all I wrote back. And there is no explaining.
Yeah. August 25th, Judge's last home run.
So I'm just I'm so proud of my son. That's my boy.
That's your boy.
Yeah. And my oldest is jacked up because Taylor Swift won Video of the Year.
Hey.
Thank Travis. Did you hear her thank for Travis?
Yeah, I really watched the VMAs, Rich.
Okay. No, hey, listen, I've got my finger firmly placed on the pop culture pulse, sir. You have to be when you're on this program.
There was a time in my life where going to the VMAs meant a lot. Those days are long.
Oh, Zam was locked in on it. He loves that.
It's not
so my oldest is locked in on the VMAs, and my youngest son is locked in on bitching about the umpiring.
Too bad he's not old enough to really remember MTV when it was MTV.
Well, yeah. I remember when video killed the radio star.
Yeah, man.
That was video one.
That was the Ricky Henderson of MTV.
See, you are my age, dude.
What year was that?
It was like 83.
And he remembers it.
Or it's
okay,
in,
and he remembers it.
Or it's in every article that you've ever read about him. You remember I worked for MTV, Rich?
By the way, you know what are the odds?
We should in the building.
I don't care that you worked in the building. You worked in the building.
I think you're
my age. And you're hiding it. And you won't say it.
I don't know what.
And by the way, you know
I
what?
Think
here's
Jimmy
the
was close.
Here's
yesterday.
The fascinating
MTV started
thing.
1981, guys. 81.
I could die. By the way, 81. 81, he remembers this.
Do I remember watching it, or do I remember?
Who were the VJs in the beginning part of MTV?
I know Martha Quinn.
Oh,
right?
My God, this guy. And he says he's not my age. And he's name-checking Martha Quinn.
You can tell me baseball players who played in the 20s and you weren't
different.
Around for
it. It's different.
That's different.
It is different.
Nina Blackwood is still on Sirius, guys.
Yeah, so. The crazy thing is I could sift through the Rich Eisen Show human resources apparatus to find the answer. And I don't.
Why do we care so much?
Purposefully. Because
it doesn't matter.
Friends care about things that other friends refuse to acknowledge.
You and I are. Brockman, you never talk about how old you are.
But
He
does.
No, he doesn't. Because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't have to come up.
No, but
you get so bent out of shape. That's why it keeps getting
brought up. Exactly.
I'm mad right now. Am I bent out of shape?
You are.
Really?
You are.
No, I was bent out of shape at dinner during that fantasy draft. Now, that was bent out of shape. This is not bent out of shape.
Who hides a number more? TJ Jefferson, his age? Or Marshall Faulk with his golf handicap.
I just don't
who
know.
Who lies about their
this
number
is just
more?
Like Groundhog Day.
Who hides and lies about
their
number more?
Marshall
you think?
Lies.
Remember this day, Jason?
I don't know.
We're going to repeat this over and over.
I don't know.
And over.
Oh,
and
I watched
over.
Yesterday. I saw. And I think Jimmy was close.
And we'll do it tomorrow and the next
no,
day.
No, no. No, no, no. No, as long as you keep protesting and then coming up with snap knowledge, like off the top of your head knowledge of
again.
The stuff that you and I, being of the same age,
because I
grew
knew that
up
video
watching
the radio star. I bet you most people know that answer that.
Did you know that,
question.
Chris? Did you know that, Chris?
I did know that, but that's because it's kind of a famous trivia.
Yeah,
question.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
If you're
it's a famous, I knew that.
Do you know
I was born
Jason
85.
Knew that? Like, yeah, so. Everybody knows that.
I don't know
come
who
on.
Sang it though. Who sang it?
I don't even know that. No, I just I know video killed the radio star.
VMAs, baby.
Used to mean something.
Come on, you were watching it last night.
Yeah, okay.
You were locked
what,
in.
Let me tell you what I wasn't doing.
I did see what Taylor Swift is wearing.
Yo.
Yo, which by the way is an old MTV phrase.
Right, yes. Yo, MTV raps, yeah, again. Everybody knows that.
Let's do the Ed Lover dance.
Like Chris knows the Ed Lover dance. I mean, come on, everybody knows these things.
All right,
Remote Control was the best show on TV.
No, I will admit
that
to
was
watch
great.
Remote
I did love that.
Was awesome. You know.
All right, let's take a break.
I was in like fourth grade for that.
We're back. I got a top five list. Top five teams that need a dub to avoid the 0-2 dreaded start. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RichEisen24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer. Terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness. Your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RichEisen24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about game time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, everybody, you know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. There's not a better person and a guy who just, who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and, thought he was going to be the starting receiver. And then Plaxico, comes back and plays that game. And then, sure enough, in the game, David Tyree has a touchdown catch and then makes the catch, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Poppa giving the call saying, he's got a wide open receiver, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, David Tyree, just the will, the desire was there, and just catching it off the helmet, just what an unbelievable story. And, you know, never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here. What do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here. But, right. I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that play.
He sees holding. Eli, what do you say to that? When he says
holding?
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see it. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. I'm just like, all right.
You know,
they let them run in. You know, LSU gets sacked by all four players. You know, they kind of just blocked them off. You know, I think, you know, it's not really holding. If the guy's holding me, you know, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want
to the
pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the like grass, they can just grab them also and pull them off. It's kind of it's kind of free range at that point.
I agree. You, Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right.
There's a giant. I was right there, Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it. Oh man, that's a funny line. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Katy Perry had two wardrobe changes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, buddy.
Wait, what? How do you know this?
Because he...
By the way, I'm plugged in, Chris.
He told you he's got his finger on the pulse.
Plugged in.
You know?
How do you not know what Katy Perry's doing when she's in the public eye, sir?
Yeah, how dare you?
Exactly. What's the matter with you?
To have a toddler.
he was probably asleep when this was going down, wasn't he?
Dude, wait till your son actually starts listening to some of this stuff. And then it's
zero chance.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. At some point, your son will be listening to songs where lyrics are definitely not suitable. Okay. And they start singing them because it's pop culture.
And you say no chance, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
You realize
he's not listening to Katy Perry, let's be honest.
Yeah, but if his friends are just going to, whatever his friends are listening to,
his son will be exactly like him, and there's no chance that he will be nothing like somebody else.
That's a shame.
That's where he is right now. let him be like that right now. Right?
He's my clone.
That's it. There you go. There you go. Until he's not. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. You're going to start seeing these numbers. They happen every year. We always get you ready for not only an NFL game and an NFL season. We get you ready for NFL coverage. We get you ready for NFL overreactions sometimes. We get you ready for what's more likely. That's what we do Fridays. Honestly, we get you set. And we front load. We front load. You're going to hear these numbers quite a bit. Because in between weeks 1 and 2, these are the numbers you hear every football season. The difference between starting 2-0, 1-1, and 0-2. Okay? Hold on. Put that. I'll throw this to you in a second. Just give me a second here. Since 1990, 277 teams have started 2-0, and 177 of those made the playoffs. We do the math for you. We always will do the math for you here. That's 63.9%, round up 64% of 2-0 teams make the playoffs. Mm. Now, if you got a chance to go 2-0, you go to 1-1, what does that mean? 493 teams have started 1-1 since 1990. 207 of those made the playoffs. That's 42%.
All right. Okay.
Less than a coin flip, though.
Yeah.
So it's helpful to win that second game if you can. Huh. If you're 0-1, you're trying to get to that 1-1 level, and you don't. 279 teams since 1990 started 0-2. 32 of them made the playoffs. That is... Sorry, Tucker. Jonathan Tucker's trying to FaceTime me in the middle of me reading this off.
Wait, really?
Yes. 279 teams have started 0-2. I'm on the air, Tucker. 32 of those teams made the playoffs. That's 11.5%. Now, you may be sitting there and saying, well, wait a minute, Rich. 1990. That's old. Those numbers don't suffice anymore.
Long time ago.
Well, it's not just that. Since 2021, we've been playing 17-game seasons. So you got one more game to dig out of that 0-2 hole, right? Mm-hmm. So remember these numbers here. Remember these numbers here, okay? Since 1990... 64% of 2-0 teams make the playoffs. Since 1990, 42% are 1-1 teams make the playoffs, and 0-2 teams, 11.5%. You'd think the numbers for not making the playoffs when you're 0-2, they'd go up, wouldn't you?
I would think that, yes.
That's not the case.
Oh.
Since 2021, since there's a 17-game season, anybody that started 2-0, 77% of those teams have made the playoffs.
Whoa.
That is up from 64%. 51 teams have started 1-1. 23 of them have made the playoffs. It's 45%, up from 42.
A little higher.
And with the extra game now, since this whole shebang started in 2021, 21 teams have started 0-2, and only two have made the playoffs. That's 9.5%. Your opportunity to make the playoffs 0-2 have gone down, even with more regular season games. Go figure that. I would not have guessed that.
That's some weird, wacky stuff.
So last year,
interesting,
when it clearly was a 17-game season, 9 teams started 0-2. Only one made the playoffs. The Houston Texans, they won their division.
That's 11%, yeah. Interesting.
Only one. And you'd think, again, it would be more because you've got more of an opportunity to dig out of the hole. It's actually less, which means even with the extra regular season game, it's even more urgent to not start 0-2. And that leads to my top 5 list of the 0-1 teams that need to win this week the most.
Oh, get
it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top 5.
All right, everybody. I need some of my theme music here, and let's go. Again, there's 16 teams that are 0-1 right now. All of them are, after certainly hearing the numbers I just mentioned, the difference between starting 1-1 and 0-2 is massive.
Massive.
45% of 1-1 teams since we've gone to a 17-game schedule have made the playoffs. Only 9% of teams that went 0-2 have made the playoffs.
Hmm.
It's a massive difference. So all 16 will be like, yes, please, we have to win this week. I'm now going to cull the list down to 5. And it starts with right here in Los Angeles, California, the Los Angeles Rams, who placed 2/5 of their offensive line in injured reserve along with Puka Nacua on IR just this week. They are banged up. They are going to Arizona, which, as we saw, showed up in Western New York with quite a punch. They would love to punch out the Rams here and hold serve on their home field against a team that has been dominating them. But Aaron Donald's gone too, as we know. And the reason why I'm putting the Rams on this list is because right around the corner is the Rams home opener against the 49ers. When you were going to, we think, see Christian McCaffrey potentially even get his first start of the season. So coming up with a win here would be kind of crucial,
yeah, big time,
for the Rams. And a lot of the teams that you see here have, on my list, have some playoff hopes. Number 4. Who started 0-1 with a home loss? Didn't look very good on offense when everyone's expecting their offense to perform well. And has the Kansas City Chiefs next week. There's only one such team, and it's the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I know you could still sit here and say they start 0-2 and they still win their division, just like the Texans did last year. But that next step for Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, if they don't win Monday night in Philadelphia, is the two-time defending Kansas City Chiefs coming to their town. You're staring 0-3 right in the face. And what better way to just turn things around, certainly for Kirk Cousins, who for a third straight year is the road team quarterback, in a week 2 Monday nighter in Philadelphia. And he didn't perform very well in those circumstances when he was with Minnesota. And now here he comes to the Falcons. What better way to just turn around and say, that was last week. We're going 1-1 and 1-1 against teams from Pennsylvania. And we're going to come in with a head of steam against Kansas City. And if they don't, they're staring 0-3 right in the face. And I don't have those numbers here in front of me. Don't worry, I will by next week. Number 3 on this list. And you heard Chris Canty, who from ESPN, just say this, that they have to get at least one win out of the next two games with backup Malik Willis, hopefully getting Jordan Love back in time. I'm putting the Packers here.
Ooh.
Because the rest of the division won. I understand the Vikings, you think they're less than. They've got the 49ers at home this week. And the Bears are in Houston this week. And they could be 1-1. And even if they go to 0-2, they're still within hailing distance of the teams in front of them. But if Malik Willis has the bang thing put on by the Colts defense, and he looks similar to the way we have seen him play already in the NFL, the Packers fall to 0-2, and they're going to start feeling a little bit unmoored and lost, and they're going to Tennessee the next week, too. And that's not going to be an easy game. People think the Titans are going to be homecoming this year. I would disagree. So they're home. It's their home opener. The Colts are coming in. They've got an improved defense in Green Bay, and they got Josh Jacobs, who looked really good in Brazil, and Joe Mixon just put a whole bunch of yards on this Colts defense on the ground. Let's get Josh Jacobs running and the defense getting Anthony Richardson moved around and go win this game. You're at home in Lambeau Field. You fall to 0-2 with Malik Willis, this could be a problem. Speaking of visiting Tennessee, if the Jets fall to 0-2, having looked the way that they did, and I understand that a defending NFC champion 49ers, but look the way that they did on defense, and as lost as they looked, with the exception of two drives on offense, to fall to 0-2, having the Patriots come to town on a Thursday night, you could say the Patriots are beatable, sure, but throw the records out, certainly when these two franchises meet. If they go to 0-2, the lines on the fan and Orin K's show will be just lit for 3 days. And if they fall to the Titans, to fall to 0-2, that would be no bueno. And not to turn this into longtime listeners, first-time callers from the New York metropolitan area, number one on this list of the Giants. You cannot come out the gate, watch Saquon do what he's doing for the opponent in your division, and fall to 0-2 by losing at home to the Vikings and have Sam Darnold miss on only 5 passes and look as lost as you have, and then go down and lose a divisional game to a team starting a rookie in Jaden Daniels. Just can't do it. Can't do it where you're falling 0-2 and a hard 0-2. 1 in the conference, 2 in the conference, and 1 in division. This is a winnable game for the Giants on the road in division. Just turn it around and come up with the win and take the pressure off. Because next up for the Giants, they're at Cleveland and then have that Thursday night home game against the Dallas Cowboys. And if they go into this game 0-3 or 1-2, should they somehow prevail in one of the next two games, and the next snap that the Giants fans physically see themselves after what just happened with the Vikings is against the Cowboys, and they do against the Cowboys what they have done in the past, this could get ugly real fast with a visit to Seattle right after that, and a home date with Cincinnati and Philadelphia right after that, and the Steelers hosting them right after that. I'm going to term it as must win as it gets. And that's my top 5. I'm sure.
All right, we'll get one more.
I don't know. I'll throw this out there. I mean, I could sit here and say the Raiders as well, right?
The Raiders.
You know, because they have some hopes as well. You don't want to fall 0-2 in that division.
Oh, no.
Okay. I'll just say here, they need it. And quite frankly, every single one of us flying to Munich needs it. I'll put the Carolina Panthers here.
Interesting.
Dude.
But they had no expectations for this year anyway.
I can sit here and say the Denver Broncos. I mean, listen, you could make the case for all 16.
You could.
I'm just going to say it, man. That was so awful what we saw in week one. So very awful in week one.
Yeah, they're going to beat the Chargers.
It just looked non-competitive.
Yeah.
But go home. Hashtag keep pounding. And let's see some signs of life here. Otherwise, I mean, this thing can slide away in an absolute hurry. I'm not putting Cincinnati here either because they started 0-2 and have done stuff and starting 0-2 also. But Like I said, you look at the Carolina Panthers schedule. I mean, they need this win. My God, they need to win. Off of what just they lost by 37 to the Saints, man.
It was a call. I mean, it was over.
It was over when they got off the bus.
Yeah, first drive over.
All right, that's my top five list right there. Oh,
I thought you put Jacksonville on there.
I don't know. I mean, again,
that division isn't just a lock that it's Houston.
No, so. I understand that. And their next two games are at Buffalo and at Houston. And I know those are tough games, but you win those and you're back. I mean, and they're winnable for them, to be honest with you. They can do it. They've got the horses.
They should beat Cleveland this week, but
I'm also just talking about expectations and pressures and whatever. You could absolutely make a case, as I said, for all 16. Certainly when the difference between making the playoffs and winning and losing this week is 45% if you win and 9% if you lose. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the show. We're back with your phone calls. Keegan Michael Key making his way to our studio, everybody. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
I will say this.
Yes.
I am a man that knows when he's defeated.
Yes.
I was beaten this year.
Yes.
My business manager is supposed to have the hat for us. He did not.
Oh, we're throwing Jamal under the bus. Who are we throwing under the bus right now?
He did not bring
that. Who is thrown under the bus by the bus just right now?
He didn't even show his face. I was willing to wear this hat. He had it made up.
Well, he told me that the hat that he made up had the final score.
No, he had the hat on there. Whatever. It was a hat. I don't know what that was.
The hat is supposed to read the following.
I am going to... Listen to this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail to Michigan, the leaders and best. Yes.
Wow.
That is for you.
Wow.
Only.
Wow.
You know it.
I honestly
took for me to do that.
I honestly can't have thought of anything else that you would do that would make me think that you would not have to follow through on your end of the wager, which is where an I should have gone to Michigan hat on the vaunted field of Notre Dame with touchdown Jesus behind you. But do I let him out of that end of the bet now?
He's good, that was man. Pretty epic, actually. And he nailed all the words.
Well, he grew up in the state of Michigan. He should know them.
I mean, that was like 40 years ago.
I did not know
them.
I had to look them up to make sure I was saying it correctly for you.
Also, I'm getting visions of like Jerome practicing before he came out here.
That did sound rehearsed.
Yeah, it sounded rehearsed. That was great.
That took a lot out of me.
Great job, Jerome.
You know that.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. I love him being upset that I wouldn't accept that after what he did. That's so fun. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Game Time Tickets is sitting right there in your app store. Download it immediately and start buying tickets with it. It's so easy with baseball playoffs around the corner, college football, professional football. You know, hoops is coming down. If you want to go to a W game, if it's in your area, that season's beginning to really cook right now. So Game Time's a perfect way for you to buy tickets, see the view from your seat, see the entire cost before you buy. It's awesome. All the app features make buying tickets, have all the guesswork removed from the process with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code RICH. You get $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Boom!
Thank you. Just had a very nice chat with our friend, Keegan Michael Key in the back, man. He's just a delight. And he is up for fun. And we do have a list of seven names.
We do.
The National Football League. And we're going to have Mr. Garvey do an NFL roll call. He's going to do it. It's going to be fun.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we're going to show a clip of Transformers 1, and we're going to just have a nice, fun little chit-chat. He's got to be psyched about his Lions.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
Absolutely.
Both of his Lions.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Penn State.
This is his...
One Detroit, one Nittany.
How about that?
Those are his Lions. Gabe in El Paso, Texas is one of our Lions. What's up, Gabe? Gabe, hey, you there? Rich. Hey, Gabe, you there?
Hey, yes, yeah. Can you hear me?
We can now.
All right, yes. Hey, good morning. Good morning por la mañana, gentlemen. How are you doing?
We're
hey,
fine. What's up? What's going on?
Gabe.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about my Packers, though, after week one. I know a few days ago you gave our fan base a virtual hug, yes. though, so I couldn't agree more with what you guys were saying earlier, what Canty was saying. I mean, I appreciate him saying that he has us and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but I'm getting shades of 2017, though, and when, of course, with all due respect, I have to say with Brett Hundley, I was riding that train, but that train got derailed. And, I mean, I don't know about Malik Willis, but, I mean, I'm kind of hoping that he can – take the reins there a little bit for love. So
no, I know. I'm wondering, like, why don't you just ask just straightforward? Just come through the front door. What you're looking for, Gabe? Just ask for it if you're looking for it. Just ask for it. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, I need that hug.
Okay, very good. That's honestly, you should just ask, Gabe. We're happy to do that. Yeah, you're right. I don't have to drag it out.
Yeah,
I have to drag it out. I mean, here we go,
it's
Gabe.
Not weird or nothing.
Here we go, Gabe. One of the famed Rich Eisen Show bro hugs. Here we go, extended. Now I'm wrapping my arms around him. Here we go. Tap tap. Now we separate. Does that feel better? Feel
good? Yes, Rich. Thank you so much, man. I really needed that. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabe. That's Gabe in El Paso. It's, honestly, people, if you need a hug,
just ask.
Yeah, we're here for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Mike Williams.
Yeah, that's it. We're here. That's the part of RES Consulting. Best thing about us is it's about us, but we plus people up.
We're full service, man.
Rich Eisen Consulting. We plus people up. I think we just plused up Gabe, didn't we? He's now Gabe Plus.
Yeah, we Gabe Plus.
We're full service. We're like those strip malls that you can go get a tattoo. You know, a haircut, and your tire change.
Oh, literally.
Let me just say this. You know, Matt LaFleur.
Public notary.
Matt LaFleur needs to plus Malik Willis up. I honestly, this is nothing against this kid. Remember, most of us were first introduced to Malik Willis on a street. He was on a street corner at the Combine. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Where somebody was just, had their phone camera out and saw Malik Willis open up his gym bag
or his suitcase,
and he removed some of the swag that prospects get at the combine and gave it to a homeless person. Mm-hmm. That's how most of America football fans were introduced to Malik Willis. So cool. He is 100% someone to root for. But the times that we've seen him in games, and it's unfortunate, he was thrown in games that the Titans had to win for playoff purposes, right?
Yeah, not equipped.
And so now he's thrown in again before you think. And each time he's looked overwhelmed. The worst word for it is lost. So boy, do they have to plus him up. Certainly since they went ahead and acquired him at the end of the summer. So he's been thrown into the playbook. And now he's thrown into a game for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. That is a big storyline for week two. Keegan-Michael Key coming up hour three in studio. And so but the good news is, Packers fans, is you got a great coach. I mean, if there's anybody who can plus this guy up, don't you think it's him? It's LaFleur?
I honestly can't say it enough. We don't talk enough about how great of a coach Matt LaFleur is.
Because everybody assumed he was just rolling the footballs out for Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, in his MVP seasons.
Not the case,
now, obviously, they were just a great connection. They were just a great connection. But there's a reason why I think Jordan Love looks like this.
Yeah.
And Gutekunst picks the players too perfectly from this kid, Jaden Reed. I mean, they have some players, so they gotta get open, and Malik Willis has gotta identify properly pre-snap, post-snap, see it and rip it. And they got to simplify it. The only problem is that the Colts know that. And they're coming in with a Badger, ready to roll downhill. And Anthony Richardson throwing deep, baby.
Bombs.
Right? So that's a big one. But you got a really excellent coach in Matt LaFleur, who I'm assuming is just, did he move into Willis's house?
Got to
spend as much time with him as possible.
Yeah. And he probably had Willis move into his crib because it's probably a little bit more established.
Yeah, it's probably nicer.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're assuming. Yeah.
Well, he's been there longer, you know.
So, hour number three coming up. Keegan Michael Key's in that green room. So, this is not a live shot.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt, movie director James Mangold.
I'd want to turn Bob Dylan into a simple character with a simple thing to unlock that then makes you go, ah, now I get him. First time I sat down with him, he said, what's this movie about, Jim? It's about a guy who's choking to death in Minnesota and reinvents himself in a brand new place, becomes phenomenally successful, starts to choke to death again, and runs away. And he smiled. He was like, I like that.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.